It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name.
Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
Welcome, folks. You're listening to the Superman Super Show. This is episode number 6, Superman's Phony Manager. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Ed, and 1,000 miles over there to my left is another host, Steven. Steven, say hello.
Rock and roll. I don't know why I said that.
All night long. Oh, no, that's all night. I'm sorry. Alrighty. Today, we're looking at... wait a minute. I skipped a part. The script says banter a bit. So, okay.
Yeah.
So we need to banter here instead of just zooming right into things. We have plenty of time to zoom, but
what should we banter about today? We did the weather and sports in the last episode.
I had to consult my
bantering handbook
today on the final order cutoff. I think which the time frame has already passed because it's always on Mondays. But DC Comics had Superman in the Golden Age Omnibus number 7 up for final order cutoff today. So I know I have 5 because they're soft covers. Mm-hmm. And I know 6 is out, but I guess it's not in soft cover yet because I haven't seen it. And they're getting ready to come out with 7. In 7, I think I remembered seeing that the issues of Action Comics were like in the 130s that they were covering in there. And it was Action Comics, Superman, and World's Finest. So up to the 7th volume, that is as far abroad as Superman had gotten. He just was in 3 books in whatever time frame that covers. So, okay. Let's see. Banter. Your turn to banter.
Well, I was going to say, you mentioned that Superman in the Golden Age, Volume 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me curious, how far are we going to get before we're, I know the goal is we're just going to go until we just don't feel like going anymore.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Will we get to Volume 7? Will we get out of the Golden Age? Will we ever reach the Silver Age?
Yeah, we'd have to. We'd have to look to see. Yeah. I mean, we're in 1938. What the Silver Age starts, in the 50s, right?
Like mid to late 50s.
Yeah.
I think.
So, I mean, we're down the road a bit. Plus two, something else to think about is we're talking about 9, 10, like the last one we just talked about was the shortest story yet. That was 9 pages.
Yeah.
Action Comics 7 is the longest one. It's 13 pages.
Whoa.
Now, when we get to like a Superman title, it'll be 30 to 40 pages.
Yep.
And when it gets to be new material, it'll be, like 20 pages and 15 pages for a story. So that'll be a lot longer to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
So our pace, I would imagine, will slow down. Now, I know the first several issues of the Superman, the eponymously titled Superman book, has several reprints in each of the first several issues of these action stories. And then like one original or two original, something like that. So,
yep.
But you know, at some point, the book is all new and it's, I don't know, 30 to 35 pages, I think. So,
yeah. You know, something else we didn't talk about in the last couple episodes, but we're still, you know, of course, we're reading Action Comics, but we have not yet reached the point where, except for issue number one, that Superman is on the cover. These are still other, you know, because this is an anthology series.
Right.
There are other covers depicting what happens in some of the other stories. And I want to say it's maybe issue 16 when we start getting Superman covers regularly, but I'm not sure.
Seven is a Superman cover.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I hadn't read seven yet. I was really looking forward to it. But
I did notice that it was the first one that we've had since number one.
All right. Well, let's...
Are we bantered out now?
I think banter done.
We have bantered a bit. Okay. So, post-banter, we're looking at the Superman tale in Action Comics number 6 by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, which is entitled Superman's Phony Manager. Now, Action Comics number 6 was published by DC Comics, as have all the others, as have all of them ever, I think, but we haven't talked about ever yet. And it has a cover date of November 1938. So one more story, and we've talked about the 1938 adventures of Superman.
That's true.
We will have finished a calendar year of Superman with the next issue. That's like some kind of landmark. I mean, that's like...
Or at least cover-dated stories.
Well, yeah, cover, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like we said last issue, they're like 4, 5, 6 months difference. And yeah, so...
Yep.
Okay, so back to issue 6, cover dated November. At the Daily Star offices, Clark Kent is introduced to Nick Williams, who claims to be Superman's manager. I can only imagine what's going through Clark's mind. Oh, you are? Oh, okay. He says Superman's given him all commercial rights to the Superman name, and if the paper agrees to keep mentioning Superman, he'll give them a share of the profits. Clark Kent doubts the authenticity of his words, so Williams invites Kent to meet Superman at his house tonight. Now, the office boy is listening, and this office boy will eventually be important, but right now he's just office boy.
And, office boy.
And in our rundown here, office boy is capitalized, like it's a proper term.
Yeah.
Like,
We'll talk about who the office boy eventually becomes. Well, I think we can talk about that before the end of the episode.
So the office boy is listening outside the door and mentions what he heard to Lois Lane. She immediately goes up to Clark and asks him out on a date. They go out to a nightclub and hear a singer singing her new song, You're a Superman. Lois slips a drug into Clark's drink that's supposed to make him fall asleep. She leaves to meet up with Williams and Superman. Clark Kent stops pretending to sleep, changes into Superman, and heads over to Williams' house. There, the fake Superman comes in and performs some fake feats of strength, but Lois is not fooled. When she tries to leave, Williams grabs her, throws her out the window. Actually, I think both of them do. It takes both of them to throw her out the window.
Yeah.
Luckily, Superman happens along at just that time, jumps in the air and catches her. Williams and the fake Superman see that and attempt to run away, but Superman catches up with them and carries them to the police station. Fake Superman admits guilt to the attempted murder charge, and both he and Williams go to jail. Now, that's given to us from DCFandom.com, and we'll have the link in the show notes for those. Let's see, is this the first time he's referred to as the Man of Steel? Steven?
It is. I noticed that myself. The second panel, they're showing different headlines from other newspapers, and one of them says, Mystery Man of Steel reappears. And I looked that up and looked up when is the first appearance of Superman being referred to as the Man of Steel, and they do say that that's in Action Comics number 6. Did you get the feeling that maybe either Joe Shuster is doing something different in this issue, or maybe he had some help here and there? Because just looking at that first page, panel number 3, Superman or Clark Kent in that third panel just does not look like what Joe Shuster has normally drawn any character.
Well, I have, according to the Grand Comic Book Database, that the inker is Joe Shuster / Paul Loretta. So what you could be noticing is a heavy-handed ink job over Shuster's pencils, and so it kind of takes it away. We get into in issue 7, we get into some more questions of that nature with a much more definitive answer also.
Okay.
So if it happens much more in issue 7, then it could start happening in issue 6. That would not be that big a stretch to say that some things are changing a little bit, at least with the art or the art chores in the book.
Yeah, because there is a definite
shift. It's different without trying to say how and subsequently insulting somebody or anything like that. It just, you can definitely tell that there's, it's different than what Clark has appeared in the past.
Yeah. Should we talk about Office Boy real quick?
Before we do that, let's note that the paper is now referred to as the Daily Star.
Yes.
In the ever evolving, what are we going to call the paper, or we have forgotten what we called it in the past, or whatever's going on.
You know, I read something today that at this time, because of course, Siegel and Shuster were from Cleveland, so they do have Superman based in Cleveland. They do eventually change it to Toronto, or not Toronto, Metropolis.
Metropolis, okay. Which is Metropolis is supposed to be New York, right?
What I read today was that Shuster based the Metropolis skyline. When we see Metropolis, it's based on Toronto.
Oh,
and actually, the Daily Star is taken from the Toronto Star, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not sure why he chose Toronto or why they chose Toronto, but the name, because in issue 2, I think they called the newspaper like the Cleveland Standard or something.
Let me see here real quick. It was the Cleveland Evening News.
Cleveland Evening News, yes. And based on the article I read, no, I didn't go back and fact check this myself.
Right, right.
But at this point where we're at right now, the paper has been the Daily Star, and it was just that one issue that they messed up. And they called it something different.
Okay, all right.
And then I don't remember the reasoning behind why they changed it to Metropolis. Something about with their original plans being the strip being in a newspaper and it being, I guess, this Cleveland newspaper. They based him out of Cleveland, but after a bit, they decided to go with a fictional city.
Okay. Also, as we have already run into starting from the first panel, every panel is numbered for the first time.
Yeah, that's weird.
Here, I don't know if that is in preparation for something else, or if I would think that if you're doing that for a production reason, that you would remove it. But
there are numbers in the panels in the previous issues, but I don't think they're in every panel. And those that have them, they're not as noticeable. They're actually circled, and you know, white circles with the numbers in this issue, whereas the other issues might just have a number in the corner and you could lose it in the art. But yeah, I wonder we'll have to maybe somebody listening can enlighten us, but we'll have to look that up at some point, what the purpose was behind numbering the panels.
I did notice also, of all possibilities, I believe this story had 100 even panel. So I wonder if it was a money issue that maybe they were keeping track of production somehow too. And I did read issue 7 in preparation. They're numbered there, but I forget what the total number was. It didn't strike me, but it did strike me. I believe this story has 100 even. So
crazy.
And those are the two things I noticed before noticing the Office Boy. So what were you going to say about the Office Boy?
All right. So when I was preparing the notes for this episode, and of course, in this issue, he's only referred to as Office Boy. And it might even be in that one panel outside the editor's door. An inquisitive office boy has been getting an earful, And he's a blonde kid with a bow tie.
He's a very interesting looking kind of dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't make note of him at all. But when I go over to DCFandom.com to prepare the notes, one of the things they do over there on that website is they tell you the characters that are appearing in the story. And then if it's their first appearance or like their single appearance, for example, because like the phony manager, this is the only appearance he's ever made in these comics.
Gee, I can't imagine.
So they'll put in parentheses, first appearance or single appearance, one of those. And I noticed that they said that Jimmy Olsen was apparently in this issue and they put first appearance. And I thought, well, I don't remember seeing him at all in this issue. And I looked it up and it is that they have basically retroactively, based on the article I read, they have retroactively claimed that this is the first appearance of Jimmy Olsen. I guess a number of issues later, he will be referred to as Jimmy Olsen at some point. So
there we go. So,
but
Action Comics number 6, the first appearance of Jimmy Olsen, who hangs around almost as long as Clark and Lois.
Right. And he's literally listening at the keyhole.
Yeah. I said Archie. He reminds me of another character I've seen. Oh, Johnny Thunder. He reminds me of Johnny Thunder, the actual Johnny Thunder.
Right.
Not the Thunderbolt.
And so, we get this moment where Lois Lane, who apparently will do anything for a story, basically asks Clark out on a date. He's super surprised that she's actually talking to him. Did I hear you correctly? Did you speak to me? And they're underlining words that they're emphasizing at this point. And there's a great moment here.
Me?
Yeah. Did you speak to me? Yeah. And there's a great moment here where once they finalize their plans, she says, I'll be waiting for you tonight. And then in parentheses, how easily I can twist you around my finger. Whereas Clark's saying, I'll be there. And then in parentheses, how easy you are to convince that I'm putty in your hands, which goes back to what we were saying in the other episode. Clark is the mask.
Right.
He'll do
anything to separate Clark from Superman. Clark will bear any indignity to separate him from Superman, because everyone knows Superman would not bear that indignity, but Clark will bear all of them.
Yep. And he wears a top hat when they go out on their date.
Yes, that's I dig
stylish.
It. I wonder if it's a collapsible one.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah.
Or if there's a rabbit in there.
I don't, that's a different character.
And then we get what might be the first musical number that I know that maybe I've encountered in many comics. So maybe the first musical number in a Superman story with a woman. But some of the lyrics in this song.
Yes.
When you crush me in your arms, I must reveal I'm only flesh and blood, not resistless steel.
Resistless?
Resistless.
Is that a word? Yeah. And I don't know.
Well, artistic license. Someday you're going to leap to the altar at my feet. Then the world will know, because I'll tell all I know that I want them to know that you're my Superman.
Now, I wonder, 1938, I wonder if those lyrics are like patterned after an actual song that was like on the radio at that time or something like that. They just changed some of the lyrics.
That's a good question, because I tried to sing that in my mind while I was reading it. And I couldn't come up with a tune, but then I'm not one who listens to a lot of music from back then. So,
and therefore,
it very well could be. I did actually go online to see if anybody ever made a song out of it, and I couldn't find any.
Okay.
The Superman Super Show will return after these messages.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, back to the Superman Super Show.
So at the very least, they're not actual lyrics of an existing song.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. You're a Superman. You can make my heart leap 10,000 feet.
It rhymes, at least, yes. Yeah, and she slipped in the word ardor, which is
she did.
You know, that's a higher level word. A lot of points there for that.
His ardor is stronger than a human man's.
Because he's Superman.
That's right. He's Superman. And then this the guy that they have dressing up as Superman, he's very funny. There's almost, you can almost sense, it's like this guy does not, he looks awkward in that costume.
He doesn't, at the very least, he doesn't fill the uniform out as right. well as Clark Kent does. At the very least.
Yeah, and in a couple of these panels, it's almost like his head is too big, and I wonder if they did that on purpose just to give the appearance that he is awkward looking in this
could
costume.
Be. Yeah.
And then Lois Drugs Clark.
She roofies him, man. She roofies him.
When Clark glances away, Lois surreptitiously drops a drug into his drink. And he, of course, acting, gosh, I'm sleepy.
Yeah, he knew as soon as it happened what yep. she had done, and he plays yep. along.
That's great. And then when we do see him, it's kind of, we got on the one page, we got this guy dressed up as Superman, and that very first panel of him, the trunks look baggy, right? They almost look baggy around the legs up there near the hips. But then when we get to the next page and Clark is now in his Superman costume, it looks right.
Exactly.
It looks like it fits. His head looks like a normal size.
Yep.
That's the true blue Superman. And then the guy's waiting out. He tells the actor to wait out on the ledge, and he will give a signal. And his signal is very sneaky, which is to just snap.
Yeah, right. Yep.
He just snaps, and the guy comes climbing in the window. And again, I really appreciate the art in this issue, just simply because this guy who is pretending to be Superman just looks ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks ridiculous.
But we see him here doing his feats of strength. He picks up a desk and he bends a metal bar, and Lois doesn't believe either one because she then goes and picks up the desk and she bends the metal bar and calls him down. I like how throughout certain words by people, there's not necessarily a connection from instance to instance, but a word is underlined, I guess, owning to some sort of significance that they are verbally placing on that particular word. Like the panel I'm looking at here, Lois has, I don't know, there's probably 20, 25, maybe 30 words there, but the very last one is the one that's underlined, the word phony.
Yeah.
And several panels later, the word murder is. Actually, this makes me wonder if we went through and pulled out all the underlined words. Is that like some kind of code or something?
Did we get
the Superman fan club the code phrase or something? I don't know. But yeah, just certain words will be underlined and never the same words by the same character or anything like that. It's almost like they're just like underlined that one.
I'm taking them to mean that we are to emphasize those words. But that would be murder. You know that they're emphasizing those words when they say them. Nowadays they would bold it. They would do them in bold. They'd be a little bit bolder.
Right. Yeah.
But and yet at the same time, that word balloon where Lois is speaking and the word phony is underlined, Superman is bigger than the other words. So it's like...
Is it because it's
his name?
Is that on purpose or is it because they're lettering by hand?
Right, yeah.
Which I think in 1938, I don't think they had any other technology yet but hand to draw in the letters in the bubble. So
no, and I know at some point they come there. There's a certain tool that they end up using that will
type.
They put lines in the word bubbles, so they all the letters are the same size, and they use a. There's a certain tool that they lay. I watched a video on it at one point, but there's a tool that they lay down on the paper, and they can. Matter of fact, there was almost like a kind of a stencil at one point.
So I mean, in these early comics like that, you always wonder if anything in that word balloon other than the letters themselves are supposed to be, or is it an artifact of the fact that they're doing it by hand?
Right. Yeah. I like the phony Superman, how he in panel 75, he is very, he didn't like the idea of them throwing Lois to her death. But that would be murder. But then the very next panel 76,
he's helping.
Oh, we'll call it accidental or a suicide, eh?
Throw Lois to her death. He's overcome his doubts.
Yeah, trying to convince himself that, well, I guess if we make it look like an accident or a suicide, I guess it's murder is okay at that point.
Yeah. The panel of her falling, is there any doubt in that panel that she is falling?
I don't think so.
No. Just everything about that is just so very movement-y. You know? It's just, I really like that. I like that about Schuster's art really so far, that it just is. And even the panel before, the way that she is drawn, is there any question that she's fighting?
Kicking and fighting. Yeah. Really, yeah.
I mean,
done very well.
The panel before that, where he's grabbed her hand, she is obviously trying to pull away from him because she knows something not cool is coming. So, I mean, those three panels very much show that even in 2D, Lois is 3D attempting to do something. Something is happening to her person.
Yep. Yeah.
And I like that. I like that about the art so far.
Yeah. And the text box of her falling is just a moment later, Lois's kicking and screaming figure falls from the window downward toward a horrible, crushing death.
There's no doubt what's going
to happen. Vivid.
Yes.
That's vivid.
All those kids in late 30s understand that she's going to squish on the cement there. Also here on this page, that second panel shows Superman leaping up to catch her. Very excellent movement. The next panel, catching her, movement again. The next panel, landing, holding her, movement again. Just very effective display of getting the 2D character to move in three dimensions. It's really good, I think. And I keep going on about that. I'm sorry, but it just...
No, it's a good point. Cool. And then the phony Superman punches Superman in the mouth and breaks his hand, which, in a previous issue, that football player had punched Superman in the chest. So obviously that guy didn't put a lot into it, but this dude put his entire heart in that punch because he busted his fist. And then he's dancing around on one foot. Ow, my hand! It's really funny. And then the panel of Superman leaping through the air, and he's holding Lois in one arm and the two bad guys by the collars in the other arm. It's really nice.
No look of effort on his part at all.
Yeah, no, it's just something he's doing.
Yeah, he's carrying her, dragging them. No problem.
Yeah. And they're taken to the police. And at first, as they're standing in front of the policeman, the sergeant or whatever, they're about to deny that they didn't do anything until he sees Superman looking at him through the window.
Yep.
He's like, no, he's there.
I did it. Yep.
Yeah. Throw these two vermin into the can. Yeah. And then that's the issue. And then we get another, in this issue. What was that, issue 4 or 5, where we got the kid lifting the chair to acquire feats of human strength. And now we have another exercise that they can do. Clench your fists as tightly as possible, exerting every ounce of energy. While in this tense state, sharply jerk them in various directions. This will eventually impart to you a crushing hand grip. I just can't. That hurts. You know, you're going to pull something at our age doing that.
Yep.
But it's fun. I don't know if I want to use the word cute or quaint that they put these little things in here. I mean, it's obvious at this point that they know that most of their readership are kids.
Right. You're right. Yeah.
And the fact that they're trying to teach them to acquire super strength in various ways just cracks me up. And what's up with this picture of Superman in, I guess, would be panel 99? More adventures of Superman will appear in forthcoming issues. And he's got his cape like draped over him. It's very weird. It's like a Roman emperor type of thing. It's like he's wearing a toga. And if that was drawn by Joe Shuster, then yeah, the inker really took some liberty with that, because that's not Joe Shuster right there. So is that something maybe they add, you know, the creative team turned in their book and they're like, all right, we got to fill 2 panels here to finish up this page. Let's just throw these things in here.
Right. Yeah. They didn't have an ad. So they threw that in there.
Very weird. This was a fun one. It's not the level of crazy that some of the others have been so far. I think the dullest issue so far is the one with the dam.
Yes.
This is not quite as dull as that one. But again, it's flipping Superman. And the bad guys that he's going up against is a dude that's pretending to be his manager. And then an actor that he hired to portray Superman. I mean,
mobsters essentially is all he's they have created. And maybe it's because they, you know, I don't know. It's hard enough to believe of a character like Superman. So we have to ground it somehow. And so we ground it with the bad guys.
Yeah, it's very much it's like the point they're trying to make is, there's nobody in this world that's like Superman.
Right.
So we're not going to put any crazy villains in here because, you know, or were they even, I mean, you know, you got to assume, because there was stuff out at this time, like Flash Gordon and stuff like that, that did deal with aliens and crazy villains and whatnot. So, I just don't know why they haven't come to that point yet in these books. If not for the only reason being is that Superman is the only person like this, and we don't want anybody to outshine him at this
point. Has it not occurred to them that we need to create bad guys that like can challenge him? I mean, because everything's been easy, you know, they can't even punch him without hurting themselves. So I don't know.
He really hasn't had to struggle too much.
No, not at all.
To save the day
in any way. You know, there's no aliens, there's no kryptonite, there's no super geniuses, there's nothing. It's just like you said, he is absolutely unique and everybody else is like everybody else. You know, it's like the rest of us. He is the one and only. He stands out.
Yeah.
And maybe that was the intent.
Yeah, it probably was. You know, you have to assume that maybe at some point, you know, I don't know when they might have started including letters, columns, and whatnot in these books. But, you know, maybe at some point they were starting to get mail about, you know, we need something a little bit more interesting. We love Superman, but give him something more challenging than a guy pretending to be his manager.
Right.
You know, or it would just be really interesting. Maybe there's books that we could read that would tell us about, you know, why. At what point they started incorporating more flashy villains and whatnot in it, and why?
You know, as a comparison, going back to my reading of Dr. Fate, he had evil magic users, just like he was a good magic user very, very early on. However, Silver Age Thor, which is much after this, it's like in the 66. He started out battling mobsters. And he was a Norse god, but they started him out for 6, 7, 8 months just battling the mob, you know, so I don't know.
Don't know what the thought process is behind that.
I've read Batman, and he has not come up against anybody. Not yet. The Joker is coming up in what I'm reading, and that's 15, 20 stories in.
Yeah.
He's coming up against the Joker, but the Joker really doesn't have any powers. He just looks weird.
Right.
So, I'm not sure.
I just, you know, when I think of, for me, when I think of Superman from this era, my mind goes to the Fleischer cartoons.
Yes, yes, yes.
And in that, he was fighting robots and stuff like that. So, I know it's coming, obviously. We know that kind of stuff is coming.
Right.
It's just interesting to, you know, see how far they get before they start incorporating more sci-fi almost into this stuff, because it's not like it wasn't around. It's not like other people weren't doing it. So,
well, it was at this point, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Sci-fi. I mean, every pulp book magazine that you picked up had a sci-fi story in it at this point. So it was everywhere. The serials and the movies.
Yeah, and I mean, the idea of Superman is science fiction. He's straight from the beginning, issue one, he was an alien from another world who came to Earth on a rocket. You know, that's as in-depth as they got with it. But so, it's just funny. It's like watching the first season of a TV show like Supernatural, where it's kind of just a monster of the week until they really get into the thick of it, you know?
Right.
So,
and then and maybe the same thing is here. They're not concerned about long-term writing, this issue, this story. So,
yep. All right. Anything else we want to say about this issue?
Let's see. Nope. I mentioned everything I had noticed.
Okay. Let's wrap this sucker up then.
Alrighty. I do want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us, and those are underlined, I'm kidding. If you want to drop us a line, you can do that at thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. If you want to help the show in other ways, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts and or preferably both. Tell all of your friends about us. Now, until next week, I'm Ed, and I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye. And this is Steven, and he's going to say goodbye as well.
Goodbye as well.
Goodbye, folks. Have a good evening.
I do have fun doing these.
Oh, yeah.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. The Superman Super Show is a presentation of Steven or Else Media. For more nerdy content just like this, check out stevenorelse.com or just use the link in your show notes. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.